Thank you all very much for coming to our candidate forum for city council and for the mayor. My name is Carrie Ann Baker, and I'm the president of the chamber for this year. Let me introduce you to Hannah Heimbach. She's agreed to serve as our moderator tonight.
All right, welcome Donna and Heath. We are very pleased to have you here with us today. My name is Hannah Heimbach. I'm happy to serve as your moderator this evening. We will start the evening with a little something special. Due to unforeseen circumstances with our scheduled District 31 representative seat and District 9 borough assembly seat debate, which had to be canceled, we have invited each of the candidates from those races to attend this evening to give a statement about their platform. We will excuse Willie Dunn, who's attending his daughter's wedding, but it is my pleasure to introduce Representative Seaton, who will have 10 minutes to discuss his plans to support the chamber businesses and small businesses in general.
Well, good evening. I am Paul Seaton, and I'm your state representative. I've been a resident of the Kenai Peninsula for about 43 years, and I've been your representative for 16 years. I was asked to come tonight to talk about how I support businesses in this area. And I really appreciate that. Before I go into that, though, I do want to say that, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to come here. I'm disappointed that we're not having debate on the 25th, that's been canceled. But I did want to announce that I have scheduled for that same time and same place right here a town hall, which will be moderated by the same person that moderated the governor's debate in this arena, and so we'll look forward to that. You're all invited back, and we'll have lots of questions and answers and a dialogue, which I think is really necessary between the constituents and people running for office. One of the ways in which I support businesses here is I am very supportive of constituents and working them through the administrative and the process, the issues that they get with state departments. It's something that we do just almost every day, but there are so many things that arise where people and businesses have problems, and we can help lead them through that process. It goes from permitting to roads to all manner of things. What are some of the things that we've done this year? One of the things is looking at alcohol. We had several bills. One was that in 1978, or 85 it was, we had a change in the alcohol, tourism alcohol, so that if you had a small bed and breakfast or something like that, you could have wine and beer. It turned out that in 85, the law got changed and you would have to have 40 beds. And nobody knew that until last year. And then they were going to take from a lot of small businesses their alcohol license. And so we grandfathered those people in. And so those businesses along the roadside mainly are able to stay open, whether that's in Nanilchik or other businesses down here as well. Very late in the session last year, there was a total rewrite of the alcohol statutes that came over from the Senate very late. We stopped that because there isn't enough time for my constituents to look at those, comment to us, and make sure that we can make appropriate changes. In the past, I had constituents come up and said, you know, we've got this really big, complex tax that we have to pay on gravel. They had to weigh it all. They had to do this. And the question was, why are we doing this when we sell most of the gravel to the state? And so we looked at that, and it made no sense for efficiency to be incurring all these costs and then turn around, increase the bill, and the state paid 90% of those charges. So we got rid of that tax, an efficiency in government. We've been working on reducing crime. We've done quite a bit on reforming SB 91. We passed three bills that got rid of many of the aspects of that bill that was another one of those 143-page omnibus rewrites, and there's going to be things wrong. Now those things have been rolled back and corrected. The automatic bail has been gotten rid of, and we did a lot on opioids. Can't go into all those details in a short period of time, but those are some of the things we've been doing. I'm supporting ballot issue one. We need to support our industries around here. Doesn't matter whether it's recreational or commercial. We need to have habitat protected for our salmon to spawn and come back so that we have good runs. And all after the Supreme Court took away the prohibitions on issuing permits. What happened was that we have standards now in that bill that everybody can work on. The other thing that I would really like to mention to anybody in here that's not getting my weekly email newsletter during session, that's a way that all the businesses or individuals across the state can stay on top of what's coming up in the next week and what the big issues are, what those policies are. And you can make comments to us while we can still make amendments to the bills, and those go forth. Another thing is that when the city or individuals bring forward ideas like that gravel tax, or the city brought forward a resolution asking to looking at the mandatory benefits, senior deduction on the property tax, we put forward a bill and had that in there. There wasn't support for it, so it died in committee. But I feel that when constituents have really good reasons for bringing things forward, that I should anticipate those, I should support those, and so we make sure that the legislature looks at those things. And so those are some of the ways in which we can support small business in here, as well as I'm sure you're all aware that one of the biggest problems we have is healthcare expenses, and I have been working in and providing information to people on how we can avoid disease, avoid some of those very expensive things to lower our healthcare costs. And so I'll continue to work on that, providing information from not my thoughts, but actual studies that are coming from across the nation that will let us lower healthcare expenses. We're also looking at pooling next year, and I'll need the small businesses and the cities to come forward. If we can form a single pool, that can be make things much cheaper, because then you can negotiate on a much larger basis. So I think that I don't want to run over time. I really appreciate the opportunity to come here. I look forward to seeing all of you that are available on the 25th, 5:30 to 7:30, come have dinner again, and we can have a real discussion in depth on any of the issues that you would like. And so thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. And I forgot to mention, when we talked about the other debate being canceled, Troy Jones is the other borough candidate, is away hunting. Next, we are going to move into our discussion with our candidates for Homer City Council. Welcome, Donna and Heath. So please tell us your name, a little bit about yourself, why you're running. You will have 5 minutes to introduce yourself and your platform, and we'll proceed in the order which you're seated. We're going to go with Donna first, and then Heath. And then when we get to the question portion, we'll take turns on who's answering first. So with that, let's start with Donna Adderhold.
Thank you very much, and good evening to all of you. I can tell that this is a room full of super voters, because you're in here on a gorgeous evening. So thank you very much for coming out and getting to know Heath and me a little bit more. My name is Donna Adderhold, and I'm running for re-election to Homer City Council. I've been on the City Council for 3 years now. And just so you know a little bit more about my background, I am a wildlife biologist by training. I have worked in research, wildlife research. I've also worked in environmental consulting for a private company in the regulatory process, helping projects large and small work through the permitting process. So I've written environmental impact statements and environmental assessments. I've worked on fish stream permits, you name it. I'm currently working here in Homer as the program coordinator for the Gulf Watch Alaska program, which is a long-term ecological monitoring program in the northern Gulf of Alaska, funded by the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council. So it's a program that's intended to go for 20 years. We're in the currently in the seventh or eighth year, I've lost track already, of this 20-year program. And I'm the cat herder. I'm the one who makes sure that all the scientists know what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to do it. So it's really fun to get to work with all of those scientists. On City Council, I'm really interested, I guess it's geeky. I'm a geek. I'm a policy geek. I really like to kind of look at what is good, just good policy. How do we write good policy for the city of Homer? How do we have consistent policy that applies across the board for everybody? So every business is treated fairly. Every individual is treated fairly. City employees know how they're supposed to react to A, B, or C. I also firmly believe that council members are the policy makers, and our city manager and the city employees are the ones who actually do the work of the city. And I really enjoy working with our city manager, working with department heads when I have that opportunity, and seeing the work that our city employees do, because I believe that we have very dedicated city employees. I love to see what they make of the policy that we put in place. And I don't think I'm going to take 5 minutes. I think I'm going to stop there. So thank you. Thank you very much. And hope you will vote for me.
Well, I'm Heath Smith. I was born in 1965 in Anchorage, Alaska. And I like to think of myself as an aftershock of the 64 earthquake. My wife and my 6 children were all born here in Homer. And we moved here in 1974. So this is home. And while I went off and got my education, I had great dreams of traveling the world and working in the Foreign Service. And it occurred to me late in my education that if I wanted to be a family man and lay down any roots, that was not going to be something that I could do and be happy. So Homer made a great impression on me as I grew up. And it was something that ultimately drove me back here and decided that this is where I wanted to raise my family. And I've done that. I've worked for UPS for 21 years, and it's been a good living. I'm just a working man and a family man. And that's something that drove me to run for this office, is that I want this community to continue to be able to provide and do exactly what it did for me. And there are things that we have to do in order to preserve that. We face some challenges here. We're a very diverse community, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so I've appreciated getting to know the city process on a different level and from a different perspective. I have a greater appreciation for what it takes to run the city now. I understand that the policy and the process that Donna referred to is not always an easy thing to navigate, and sometimes very frustrating, especially for somebody like me. But I'm grateful for what this has provided me as far as an education and the ability to connect with people in the community and have a greater understanding of what that diversity means and why we are a family as well. And all that comes with, I have 6 children, 21 to 6. It's a huge spectrum. And they come in all different flavors. And it's a challenge sometimes just to keep the peace at home. And some of you know what that's like. And this is not a foreign process to me in the sense that I came to the table with no experience as far as politics go. But the reason why I'm running again is because there's work yet to do. And it took me a little time to file because I did not know whether I was willing to commit the time. And when I filed, it was a determination that I was willing to put the time in for another 3 years. And so I appreciate you as voters and as community members and as family. And it's been a pleasure to serve. And like Donna, I would appreciate your vote. And the choices are so many. But the most important thing ever, whether you vote for me or not, is that you go out and vote. Exercise that right. Exercise that honor and privilege. And thanks for being here.
Thank you both for your introductions. And before we jump into the question and answer period, I'd like to invite one more person up, Ms. Channing Lowney. The chamber has a great tradition of including Homer's youth in the debate process, and Channing and Regan Baker, and they have a question to pose to you guys. You'll have 1 minute each to respond. No rebuttals.
Hi, my question is, how do you plan to support the arts?
Based on policy, we do have the 1% for art program. So every large infrastructure project will have a 1% for art program. And that includes our police station that we have just developed. We also have our Parks, Art, Recreation, and Culture Commission, which helps us with figuring out what art we want to have in the city and where to place it. They're also currently helping us determine what to do with our Teshio Japan Sister City collection, which is an absolutely amazing collection that everybody in the community should have access to, and they don't right now. So I fully support the arts personally, and a member of Homer Council on the Arts.
Well, Donna covered most of it. I think that, we also have the grant program through for our nonprofits through the Homer Foundation. And I believe several of our people, members of our art community, use that as a way of funding. So that's one of the ways that we do that. And, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a large infrastructure project. If you look at the bathrooms that were constructed, those also qualify for that 1%. And you see a great representation of the city's support in that regard, too.
Thank you very much. So now moving into the question portion of the forum, each candidate will receive a question and will have 2 minutes to respond. We will not have rebuttals because this is an uncontested race. I will announce the last question, after which you will be given 2 minutes for final comments. You can use that time to rebut questions, clarify a response, or however you want to use that time. And now, as soon as the last city council candidate has finished final comments, we're going to switch places with the mayoral candidate, so don't get up and run away when these guys are done. Stay for the mayoral debate as well. So question one, and we're going to start with Heath on this one. All right, Heath, the question to you is, what do you feel is the greatest barrier for business development and growth in Homer?
Well, I think part of it is really our population base. In some regards, we're a small community. I mean, there's a greater community that exists here as you go out East End Road and Anchor Point. But if you look at what it costs to be at the end of the road, there's some expenses there. I just was in ADAC, and you think you pay a lot for fuel here and a gallon of milk, you're in for a little bit of sticker shock if you travel out there. I think that there are some misconceptions about our city as far as whether we're business friendly or not. And and we have to kind of get past that. There are things that I think that the city can do to be a little more proactive in inviting business here so that they understand what the flavor of this community is as far as inviting or being accepting to certain types of businesses. So I think that the greatest barrier, sometimes we've got to get out of our own way. Other than that, I really think that the city has good policy. I mean, we're 14 square miles. 45% of our assessed land value is tax exempt. Now you think about that, and you start to think about what's available for development. I mean, when our central business district and our industrial zoning, we're limited. We have limited size. And so, we have to find ways to better use our land, maybe. Thank you.
Donna.
Thank you. One of the things that these questions did for me is remind me to go look at everything that we have online on the city's webpage and look at what the city has actually done already. And one of the things is the Business Retention and Expansion Survey that the Economic Development Advisory Commission completed last year, earlier this year. They listed several barriers for economic development in Homer, a couple of them being workforce development and the cost of doing business, meaning taxes. So, unfortunately, I think, taxes are what they are. We all kind of need to deal with that. And workforce development, we have the college here to hopefully help with that, with workforce development. The city, I agree with quite a bit of what Heath said. You know, I guess one thing I would say is, I would love the opportunity to speak with business owners and learn from business owners directly about what you see as the barriers for Homer and how what the city might be able to do from a policy perspective to better support business or to help business that is something that is fair across the board to everybody and also meets with state and federal regulations and environmental regulation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, Donna, this will go to you first. Your question is, what can the city of Homer do to encourage business development and expansion?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that the Economic Development Advisory Commission is looking into this based on the results of their survey. And I think really what the city can do is be a good place to live. If we have quality of life here, if we want to be here, we're going to have the people who want to spend money at our businesses, who are going to want to start new businesses, who are here to work in businesses and be happy, content employees who have fun things to do when they're off of work and lower stress levels.
Well, Donna pretty much covered that. I think as part of that survey, that was one of the biggest things was the quality of life. And so as a city, part of that quality of life that falls into our lap is to make sure that we have good drinking water, a sewer system that works, good roads, and services that we provide that help that, good parks, and those types of things, and that they're maintained properly. And, you know, people come to town and they see that, and they see what's available to them, then it becomes more appealing as far as a place for them to say, hey, that's a place on the map I'm willing to go to live and spend the rest of my life, or whatever it may be. And so, the Economic Development Commission did a great job in that. They reached out to as many businesses as would respond. And that was one of really the overarching things was quality of life. And so as long as the city can focus on doing what they have control over, and those are, there's only a few things that we can really impact, and they're meaningful ones, then we can say that we're successful. There's a lot of things outside of our control that really fall into your lap. And that's where we have to know where the division of labor is. So I think we're doing a great job at this point.
Okay, and Heath, the third question will start with you. And the question is, what are your top two priorities as a council person?
Well, as the voters know that turned out to the last special election that we had, I spent a tremendous amount of time over the last 3 years working on the police station and getting that project to a point that I was comfortable with and really bringing to you, the voters, something that was affordable and really reasonable. And we've just gotten to the point to where we're in the planning stage of that. So that project is not done by any stretch of the imagination. So we have to go through now the planning and really development of what that's going to look like when it goes up. And so there's really a tremendous amount of work yet to be done in order to make sure we get all the bang for our buck. I mean, there's $7.5 million taxpayer dollars on the line right now, and I take that very seriously. And so I want to make sure we get what we pay for, and it's going to be something that's going to be suitable for the long haul. And so that's the number one thing, because that's the number one thing on the plate. The other thing is the large vessel, the East Harbor expansion. We look at what is before us, and really if you look at the Port and Harbor, that is probably the number one thing that will provide economic base expansion for us. And so the sooner that we can get that going, and if you know what's happening on the horizon with the Coast Guard, they have a couple large quick response vessels that are going to replace the Sepola. And if we're not in place to kind of be in line for that, then we're going to lose one of our ships. And so if you look on the flip side of that, if we can bring those ships in, there's going to be all those families that come with those two ships and all the associated economic benefits that will come with it. So, and that's just one component of that expansion. And then there's all the boats that are on the waiting list and then everything else that can come from that. So those are the two top things for me.
I certainly agree with those projects, so I will move on to a couple of others. One, right now we have the HERC task force working on what we do with this building. And I'm fully supportive of the work that the HERC Task Force is doing. They're putting in an amazing number of personal hours and time. So I would like to continue, once we have the results that they bring forward to us, I would like to work with them or work on what are the next steps for that building. How do we continue community recreation in Homer and provide additional education and recreation services? And what do we do with that property? I think that's a big community discussion. I've also kind of gone back and dusted off our climate action plan recently and started to think, well, what have we accomplished on the climate action plan? What do we need to do next? Are there things that we can put into policy so that we're consistently evaluating how we're impacting the environment and how resilient we are to climate change? So I guess those are two top things that I'm interested in working on, and also acknowledging that we do have some very serious budgetary constraints within the city. So we need to live within our means and trying to figure out how we're going to finance all of these projects. We have a lot of new needs, a lot of infrastructure needs in this city, and how do we do it all? And how do we prioritize what we're doing and move forward?
Thank you very much. We'll move now into the final comments section. I think, Donna, we'll start with you. You'll each have 2 minutes.
Well, thanks again for coming out. It's been great to have everybody here. It's been great to answer a few of these questions. I hope you have had an opportunity to get to know Heath and I a little bit better. I will be here after the mayors have an opportunity to speak with you. I'm going to hang around for a while. So if you have questions, if anything that I said raised a question with you, I invite you to, you know, come up and talk to me and have a conversation, because that's how we make things better. And if it doesn't work out for you this evening, my contact information is available online, and you know, please do take the opportunity to reach out to me, because I would love to speak with you, you know, especially if there's business things or that you think that the city should be working on that we're not. So thank you very much for your time and your attention, and please vote for me.
I don't like talking about myself very much, so this is a very uncomfortable place, I think, for anyone to put themselves. There are others that are maybe comfortable, but I had some inclinations to run for office many years ago, and it all kind of came down to whether I was willing to subject myself to the scrutiny of a community. It finally got to the point to where I had to not worry about me, because it wasn't about me. It was about my community. And so I had to put that aside. And so the only reason that I was on the ballot 3 years ago was because I wanted to help make this a better place. And I think some meaningful things have happened over the course of the last 3 years. Some things that I think we all wish we could forget as well. But I'm here today because I'm willing to do it and continue to do it. And I'd appreciate your vote. Thank you.
We very much appreciate you guys taking the time to be here and sharing some of your words with us. And we will switch over to the mayoral candidates. Thank you. Okay, welcome Ken Kastner and David Lewis, our candidates for mayor of Homer. We are going to start once again with introductions. Each of you will have 5 minutes to introduce yourself, and then we'll get started with questions. We'll start with Ken and then go on to David.
5 minutes. I was born in Portland, Maine. Well, I'm Ken Kastner, and I've never run for office before, but that doesn't mean that I have not been involved in building this community. I've spent a lot of my time, Nancy and I came here in 1973, and right from day one, we were engaged in the community and became involved in whatever the topic of the day was as we moved through history. And we've had a lot of history here in the last 45 years. I've been involved in all the youth sports. I've coached. I've officiated. I've been on many, many different boards, chaired committees, done time on Anchorage boards as well. And I've been very involved in philanthropy, 27 years ago, Steve Yoshida and I started the Homer Foundation. And just this last year, about a year ago, my last act on the Homer Foundation was to act as a volunteer project manager to build the boathouse out on the Spit, which when it was finished, I figured that's a good time to wave goodbye and turn over the foundation to a new leadership and younger people. So I have had a lot. I have 30 years of doing the Nutcracker. That's 50 families coming together and working together for a common cause and doing it, coming from very diverse backgrounds and all working together to make the kids succeed. And every year, 3,300 people come to see the darn ballet, and it's a big deal. So I have a lot of community building behind me, and I guess I would offer that as a substitute for having had government experience. Every time they've had a task force, I usually get asked it, and I've served on several. So anyway, that's my background as far as community service. I'm running as a citizen mayor. I really believe that we're at a point in our history where we need to lower the rhetoric and get together and really work together hard. Everybody knows that we live in a divided town. Everybody knows that we have a divided council. And when it was suggested to me that I run for mayor, I thought, well, why would I want to? And then I thought, I know why, because I can do something that no other mayor has ever dared do, and that is to not vote, not be the seventh vote on the council, and just have the council have to, knowing that the mayor will not vote, the council is going to have to work together to get anything done, to find the fourth and fifth and sixth vote maybe. And I've always been a consensus builder. So what I'm hoping to do on the council side of things is to help build consensus, help limit the debate to those things that are really common to the interests of the people, and to make sure that as those policies are developed, that the policies are funded, and that the only funding go to things that have policy behind them and keep track of that. So I'm a bit of a numbers guy. My professional things that I do is all about numbers, and so I know I spend a lot of time with spreadsheets. But being mayor isn't just about being at council meetings or having the opportunity to break a tie if you choose to, or how you conduct yourself. Being mayor is also making sure that there's space available for the community to come in and take part in the process. And I'm going to be very, very active in that. Being mayor is also the person that gets to nominate people to be on boards and commissions. And to that end, I have a really, really big interest, and I'm sure Dave does too, in attracting younger people to start filling in the spaces that we older people need to allow. And so I would be, as a person that would be nominating people, I would be looking for that. And then lastly, there's the whole thing about that Donna brought up, about making sure that the policy is reserved to the six members of the council, that they set policy, that the people that run the city, the city manager and all the people that work here, understand the policies and follow those policies and don't create policy. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Lewis. I came to Homer in 89 with my wife, and we raised our family here. Before then, I was out in Brevik Mission, and I spent 12 years teaching in Bush, Alaska, all around basically the lower Yukon, the lower Kuskokwim, out in the Bering Sea and the Bering Straits area. Raising our family here, I became a hockey dad. So basically all of my time was spent dealing with hockey, putting the ice in at the old rink, battling with the weather with the old rink. Eventually in 2005, with the help of other people, we got the Kevin Bell Arena built. And that was a big accomplishment, and the board kept on working, and they now have a very stable rink. I taught school here until 98. I've been out at the head of the bay. I taught at the intermediate school, at the middle school, the high school, and West Homer. I was on the city council for 9 years. They were good years. There were some good times and some bad times and some okay times, you know. I was really proud of getting the plastic bag ban passed. With that, we were a leader in the state, and now in that area, we are sitting on the sidelines. And I think that's something, I know it's a little bit controversial, but I think that is something that we should look at again, especially as being a tourist town, an eco-tourist town. You know, it's not going to change the world, but every journey starts with a first step. You know, I know Ken here doesn't want to break ties. That's, well, if you don't break a tie, somebody loses and someone wins. You know, and that I feel is the job of the mayor is to break a tie. You know, it is a divided council. Usually it's 3-3, and depending on what the topic is, you know, you've got to pass it or you're going to spend a lot of time hashing out something that needs to probably get passed in a timely manner. They mentioned earlier the workforce development. I spent a number of years working at the college with Carol and Jenny, working on that, getting the youth trained to have jobs, but they have to want to do it. And the, you know, industries need to step up a bit and provide the opportunities for the kids to enter into different apprenticeship programs or whatever. We have some great job training in the state here and at Avtech and up the road at the Kenai River campus that we need to make sure that everyone takes advantage of, and that then there are the jobs here for them after they have invested and come home. Yeah, that's good. We'll just move along to the questions now.
We're going to jump back to the youth portion. I'll invite Regan Baker and Channing Lowning back up to ask another question.
Hi, my name is Regan, and I'm in seventh grade. And my question is, if you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
You'll have 1 minute.
Okay, I'll take that. And I think I would like the superpower of flying, so I no longer have to go through TSA checkpoints.
And Mr. Kastner?
There are so many. I think I'd like to read minds. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to read minds.
Thank you both. So moving into the question part of the forum, each candidate will receive a question and then we'll have 2 minutes to respond. You will be allowed a 1 minute rebuttal for each question if you choose to use it. We started with Ken for introductions, so I think we'll start with David for question number one. And once again, you'll have 2 minutes. Your question is, what do you see as the biggest challenge the city faces, and how would you address it?
You know, I think our biggest challenge is finding new sources of revenue to fund city government. And one of the ones I see, and I know that the city manager has been working on it, but it hasn't been going, is charging a sales tax on the bear viewing flights. They're taking off and landing, and there is not a sales tax that is being collected on it. And they were feeling that that's about $250,000 a year that we aren't getting, that's just flying away, literally. A second way, and I know it's not the most popular thing in the world, we have seen the borough assembly wrestling with it, is, you know, allowing the people of the peninsula, thus the people of Homer, to vote on the bed tax. Most tourist towns have one. And it'll keep coming up until the people get to decide whether we should have one or not. Thank you.
Ken, What do you see as the biggest challenge the city faces, and how would you address it?
Getting back to the divided city thing, I think that, again, when we start working together for common causes, we can do anything. It's almost kind of a glasses half empty question, because I start thinking about what we have done in this city to increase revenue, increase the quality of life, and do all that sort of things. And I'm actually fairly optimistic that the solutions are here looking us in the eye. It's a hugely diverse economy that we have here. We're blessed with all of the opportunities that everybody has. And I just think that a lot of this gets down to attitude, and I just don't see us taxing ourselves out of the problem. I think that the problem is, just as Heath said, we have 45% of the taxable base is exempt property, and it grows every year. Every time somebody like me turns to 65 or 66, our property comes off the rolls, or most of it comes off the rolls. And we need to figure out if that's the type of bifurcation we want in our tax system. Do we want to have people that pay more and people that pay less just based on their age? Thanks.
And Mr. Lewis, would you like to use your 1 minute rebuttal?
No, thank you.
And Ken?
I don't think so.
Okay. Next question, and Ken, we'll start with you on this one. Concerning the city budget, where do you see opportunities that would reduce spending?
Heart has been my biggest thing for years. And when Katie Kester came in, I went into her office and I said, I just want you to know I'm coming after your heart money. And she said, why? And I told her why. And then she said, well, that's a great idea. I think that we'll use it instead. And they kind of cut me off at the pass. But the Homer Area Roads and Trails money was something that was set up a long time ago. It's a big chunk of dough. And it grew to be like $7 million, and they weren't spending it. And now they're spending it because the Public Works sees us as a place where they should be taking money out. And so they create projects every year, and they say, oh, we got to do this and we got to do that, and they're draining the heart money. But to me, it's a taxable revenue that should be redirected. And that to me is an existing pool of money that we ought to think about as citizens. Is this really what we want to spend money on, and is repaving certain roads every 4 years? Thanks.
Okay, when I came on the city council, the food tax exemption passed. That was late 2008, and the city went along with that. In doing that, we lost right off the bat $1 million in revenue. So basically, you have been cutting that, from the budget since then. And I feel the budget has been cut as about as far as it can go. They are now using, the heart funds that Ken wants. They are using it to fund the maintenance of the roads, so that they wouldn't have to cut anything else. You could cut more, but what services do you want to get rid of? Do you want to, that becomes the biggest part, is what services do you cut now?
Ken, would you like to use your 1 minute rebuttal?
No.
David, we'll start the next question with you. What are your top two priorities as mayor?
Well, I've already mentioned one, as finding new sources of revenue. And I would like to see us work that, if we're going to be a tourist town, to make it a four-season destination. We've got the rink. We have the Spark Building. We have Lookout Mountain ski trails. We have the Caribou Hill State Recreation Area. And we've got great restaurants here, but getting people to come down and use those and to enjoy those, I think that would then fill up, and keep the businesses open. And it'd be nice if the Spit wouldn't just shut down right at Labor Day. It's, one of the parks just closed at noon on Labor Day. And, you know, I don't know exactly how it would be good to work on to keep it open and keep people coming down, especially if, like, this week is our new normal for September.
Are you taking credit for it? My two things. First of all, I just want to be a moderator. I don't want to be a perpetrator of public policy. I don't really want to insert myself into that discussion at all. I just want to make sure that everybody has the space to make sure that their opinions are heard, and I would really welcome more citizen involvement. And having said that, I would have to really congratulate where the city has been putting some of its resources and attention. In the HERC task force, I attended their meeting this afternoon, and they're really doing a very, very good job in uncovering facts and looking at things and looking at possibilities and thinking beyond the obvious in order to try and bring some sort of a great conclusion to a property that is a huge asset to the city. So as mayor, moderator, as mayor, facilitator. Thank you.
Starting this question with you, Ken. Housing for our seasonal workforce is an ongoing challenge. What ideas do you have to address this issue?
Well, housing and rents are two sides of the same coin, and unfortunately, they don't touch. The cost of housing is so high that unless you inherited, like Sitka did, 20 buildings that were old dormitory buildings that you can revitalize, you don't have inexpensive housing. To build new housing, it's so expensive that you can't collect rent in order to amortize the justification of going out and borrowing money to build it. So without having some sort of a subsidy, some sugar daddy that's going to buy you the housing, it's going to be really tough. You start looking at old buildings like the HERC or like the police station or stuff like that, and then you start wondering how much would it cost to make those into dormitories. And again, the numbers just never add up. So this is like a question that I wish I had the answer to. I worked on it on the Homer Foundation for a while when HEA was thinking about moving, and we were looking at the existing HEA offices for housing. But the cost of not having housing here is huge. We can't have hockey camps in the summertime. We can't have student housing in the wintertime. We have workers that come here seasonally, and they can't afford $800 or $900 a month on what they're doing. So we need to find some solution, but it is a really, really tough question.
Okay. One, for seasonal workers, I really think that reaching out to the high school kids and running local job fairs and trying to hire as many locals as possible is the best way. I don't think, unless you want to create a whole new part of city government, that it is really the city's job. I mean, they can make it easier. They passed the ordinance this year that allowed for businesses on the spit to have a Winnebago parked there or, you know, whatever, and letting their workers stay there. You know, yeah, housing in Homer is not cheap, and it's a problem. And you know, the only thing the city can really do is come up with some ordinance that allows it. But then you will always have problems when you get into zoning as it being allowed there, and do the residents want a transient population in their neighborhood? We fought that fight with the Refuge Chapel. It's an ongoing problem.
We will have one more question before moving to final comments. We'll start this one with you, David. Okay. The question is, Homer offers some of the best marine services in the state. Yet all of the work for larger vessels must be done in other communities because Homer does not have the capability to pull large vessels out of the water. What is your opinion on the city's role in developing this service to help grow the economy?
Well, I was on the large vessel haul out task force, and we do haul out vessels up to about 100 feet. I don't know if they've hauled out anything bigger than that. We have the space, which is right by Pier 1, that the vessels are hauled out on to. Brian and Rachel did a great job in getting the plans written up and the contracts to make sure that it is environmentally friendly. To haul out vessels larger than that and their weight, you know, if it's economically feasible to do it and make a buck, I'm sure somebody in private enterprise would do it. And if it's not economically feasible to do it, the city shouldn't get involved. You know, I feel that our roads aren't strong enough to hold some of those larger vessels, so you'd have to do infrastructure there. And the same with infrastructure on the old chip pad, which is where any vessels that were hauled out and hauled far would end up. And a travel lift, I think for those larger vessels, run around 6, 7, 8 million. So it's a big investment. So I'll just leave it at that.
And Ken?
Well, I worked out on the spit all winter. And I can assure you that vessels over 100 feet were pulled out. This technology of rolling vessels on sausages is fairly amazing, and the friction is almost nil. And so once they get them moving, they can actually pull a large vessel out. And over the course of the winter, there were a lot of different vessels that came and went. And actually kind of interesting to watch that economy, that off-season economy out there on this spit. I don't think that the large vessel haul out in Kodiak has worked out all that well for them. They did make that investment. They set aside a big yard there on Near Island and bought the Hugo travel lift. But there's other things to consider other than just thinking that that's going to immediately pay for itself. I really like the low-tech solution that we've come up with in Homer, and I think you'd be surprised at the economy that's generated here in the wintertime from just pulling boats up on the spit.
And now we will make some time for final comments. You'll each have 5 minutes, and please watch Ms. Speakman for your timers. Ken, we'll start with you.
5 minutes. Starting a song. A couple of things. First of all, I want to echo something that Heath Smith said. My print ads all say the same thing. They all say, please join me in exercising our right to vote on or before October 2nd. I think it's really, really disappointing. I mean, everybody sitting here is a super voter, and thank you for being a super voter. But a lot of our friends and neighbors don't bother, and it's a travesty to live in a place like this and to have the issues that we're facing and everything like that and not participate. And the simplest way to participate is to vote. So I hope that each of you become an agent of the vote. We're in a contested election, but it shouldn't take a contested election for you to go out and exercise this unbelievable right that we have in the United States to freely vote without any influence, without any duress. And so I really, really want to make that point. It's the only thing that I say in my print ads. I want people to vote. And it's in my radio ads as well. I want people to please join me in exercising our right to vote. It is a contested election. I do have aspirations of kind of changing the way we do things. I think I like everybody on the council. I get along with everybody on the council. I tutored Heath and his sister Heidi when they were in fifth and sixth grade. So I know stuff. But I think there's nobody on that council that does not love the community. And even though we have some political divides, I know that we can all work together to make this the place that we all love to call Homer.
I will echo Ken's comments there. It is nice to have a choice and to be able to pick the person that you want. A lot of our elections here are decided with 28% or less of the people getting out and voting. When you have 28% come out and then 18% are the ones that get to make that decision, that is really a small number of people that are telling everyone this is how things are going to be. And so, you know, I've been on the council for 9 years, so most people know where I stand and what I am like. I got in trouble for keeping my word, but that's fine, and just go out and vote. Thank you.
Mr. Lewis, Mr. Kastner, thank you very much for being here today. We appreciate it.